Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Rancho Marietta Community Service District Security Committee meeting, August 3rd, 2021 at 10 a.m. It's a special meeting only because we've had a change of date. Otherwise, the topics are the normal monthly meeting. So we've called it to order. Amelia, do you have any hands or comments or anything?
Not yet.
Okay, moving on to item number three. Security monthly updates, operations. I believe this will be kicked over to Tina.
Yes. Good morning, everyone. We're working on the following projects: ABA protection training. We're still training ABA protection, the new contract security company at the gates and in patrol. And they're also the ones that are trained now are filling in spots where we need them on the gates. Recruitment for the security supervisor. We have an applicant currently in backgrounds and expect his hire date originally to be the week of August 9th, but it looks like it's going to be pushed out a little bit due to the fact that we still haven't received the background results. That's taking some time. So hopefully in the next couple of weeks, at least by the end of August, he should come on. The Sheriff's Department is still on hire back on Fridays. They respond to district calls and provide patrol services. We'll go over that report in a little bit. Patrol non-covered shifts, we had 29.5 hours total due to contract security being trained by CSD staff, and we had some shortages on the graveyard shift. We had one staff member that is no longer with us that was patrol, and he was actually working the gates a lot of the time for fill-in, so that position has been vacated. And then we have another person who got promoted into the office, so we have another missing staff member, so we've been filling in there with the ABA security, and they're working out pretty good. They're super smart and they're catching on quick. And right now we have one in training and patrol, and the other one will be going to patrol training soon. So that should help us with that, those non-covered shifts.
Okay.
On the North Gate, purchase order has been requested for Olaf to install the PoE extenders for the cameras and internet. The Lago gate has been completed. Outside lane gate, the sensor was replaced. On the south gate, we got a new gate arm installed there. And on the fire hydrant hit and run, we'll discuss that in a little bit.
Tina, excuse me. If I go back to the south gate, I know that, gosh, I'll say springtime of this calendar year and a little bit into it, we had some issues with either a bad barcode, the sensor's not reading. I have not heard any more of those issues. So I think the changes, i.e. putting the cone out there on both sides, has remedied that. I just haven't heard of any more complaints dealing with the south gate.
Yeah, that's good. I haven't heard any either. The latest complaints I've heard are just about security notifying residents of a guest coming in, but that's a gate access issue that's being worked on. And actually the overall solution to it is updating our ABDI software. So I'm looking into that.
Okay, because that I do hear comments about from the community, but it's not just the south gate. That's on both sides. So I would say if we're looking at updating or grading that, then we're on the path to mitigating those problems. So yes, thank you.
You're welcome. And yes, on that, because our software is over 13 years old and it's no longer supported by ABDI. So if the whole system crashes, they're not going to be able to repair it. So then,
I think we have to take a global look at it from that standpoint. So very good.
Okay. On to Rancho Marietta Association activity. We had our 4th of July event. It went smoothly and there were no major issues overall. Actually, there were really no issues except one item on the incidents of note that we'll talk about later. Otherwise, everything went smooth. We had the incident action plan that assisted everybody in knowing what their duties were. So it went really well. I was out there on that day with the sergeant and the patrol officers that were assigned to it as well. So it was a great event. There were a lot of people there and there were no issues. General non-ARC rules enforcement violations are down for evening parking due to lack of shift coverage during the early morning hours, usually between 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. So just an FYI on that. Stop sign enforcement and speed enforcement. The sergeant is still doing some enforcement missions each week during the daytime hours. And then as far as the stop signs, the rest of patrol will issue violations as they see them. Cameras at the lakes, RMA approved the camera installation at the lakes. We talked about that before. Their maintenance is to install poles for camera setup. Watchdog security will also install the camera. So we're just, that's just a continuous project with RMA. And apparently they're still awaiting power and internet to the lake area. So project is still in progress. It's gonna take a while for that. Murrieta Village activity and Rancho Murrieta Commercial Owners Association activity. No incidents of note with those, just doing our regular patrol activity. That's it for that. Any questions, comments?
Nope, all good here. Thank you, continue on.
All right, next item up is the off-duty hire back report for the Sacramento Sheriff's Department. They work July 2nd, 4th, 9th, 16th, and the 23rd for 6-hour shifts, except for the 4th of July event. Those were 7 and 8 hour shifts. There were a total of 3 deputies assigned to that. Deputy Hulk was the only one working during the month.
Excuse me a second, Tina. Amelia, would you mute everybody? And then we'll start over again on that, please.
Okay. The dates the Sheriff's Department worked were July 2nd, 4th, 9th, 16th, and 23rd. Like usual, they were all the 6-hour shifts from 1800 to 0100 hours. On the 4th of July, we had 3 deputies assigned and they worked 7 and 8 hour shifts. Their presence did well in the community. The only regularly assigned deputy was Deputy Hulk on all the other days for July. Total of 54 hours were worked. There were only 3 calls for service, and that included a golf cart accident, a medical call, and a suspicious vehicle. The rest of the time, the deputy did the district checks, especially around the lakes, because that's our priority. All right, next up is the RMA violation report. It shows that we only had 21 citations for the month. However, we actually wrote 51 citations. Some were entered after the 25th, so they actually go on to August violation report from the RMA. And then some of them were not accepted for various reasons.
Tina, can I ask a question there?
Yes.
Historically, it was due to documentation issues where I'd say 90% of the violations that didn't move forward with RMA. So if we're not seeing a trend, then I'm okay. But if we're seeing a trend, then obviously we've got to do some re-education, retraining there. So just a point of FYI, like I said in the past, it was a documentation issue. Or accuracy issue, I should say, with the reports. But if we're not seeing those trends, then we've addressed them as you have, so.
Yes, they've already been addressed with the security patrol officers as far as that goes with the documentation. A couple of them were rejected just for...
And that's okay. I mean, because at the end of the day, it's... it's the HOA's responsibility to say yes, it was a violation, or no, it wasn't, and go all the way to their board. And so we just have to do our due diligence and just notifying the association. So I'm fine if they make their decision somewhere in the process. We've done our part by documenting it and moving it forward.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Next is the gate entries by type. We have total gate entries for the month of July was 16,631. So it's up only a little bit over the prior month. And in the previous month to that, there were quite a bit more entries. But everything appears to be basically the same as far as the entries go. Gate entries denied. We had a total of 45 denied compared to the prior month of 52. And our Lake Park access has gone down a little bit as far as people wanting to come into the community to use the lakes. So, and next up is the cases by type, the breakdown of those. Again, that does include the refused entries of 45. So there were a total of 395 cases. Any questions?
No hands raised, no chats.
Very good. Continue on, please.
And incidents of note, the major incidents. So we had a DUI arrest at De La Cruz and Bridge House. This was the one that was on the 4th of July. It was actually a golf cart accident with injuries. We responded, and the driver of the golf cart was DUI and had a toddler child in the golf cart. The injuries were minor. CHP responded, conducted the DUI investigation, and she was arrested for suspicion of DUI. July 8th, trespassing, 7161 Marietta Parkway. Again, we were having troubles with the local rancher that kept coming to the gate. He came to the gate again, was acting erratically. He smelled like alcohol. CHP was called. He fled from CHP and returned back to his ranch. CHP decided not to pursue him onto his property due to the fact that he was a solo officer. But he was later arrested on July 13th for outstanding warrants, and he is still currently in jail. So he hasn't been out there harassing us or residents or patrons of businesses.
Very good. Thank you.
And July 14th, update on the hit and run, the fire hydrant collision. CHP responded to investigate this further and contacted a suspect who was identified through an anonymous tip. He admitted to the accident, and the vehicle was inspected and confirmed it was the vehicle. So he was cited by CHP. So everything has been turned over to GSRMA for damage recovery, and it should be in the district attorney's office to see what charges they will file. We haven't heard anything yet on that. July 19th, there was a hit and run on a CSD vehicle at the plaza. We responded to suspicion person's call at the plaza behind Go For Pizza. When patrol approached the subjects, they fled in their vehicles, and one of their vehicles collided with one of our Jeeps. Caused some damage to the driver door where it can't be opened. Subjects fled the scene. They were identified through body-worn camera footage. And it looks like they may also be responsible for vandalism in the area inside the gates at one particular resident's house. And CHP responded for that investigation as well.
So Tina, on that one, because it is an ongoing, I'll keep my questions very generic. I'm assuming we're going to want some type of restitution for the damage of the vehicle, et cetera, as we move forward with these folks.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, thank you.
We'll be getting that as well. It's been turned over to our GSRMA.
Correct.
No, they're not residents. And let's see, July 31st, last one of the month, there was a hot air balloon landing at Calera Reservoir. It was reported that occupants possibly jumped in the water. However, when patrol responded, they found no evidence of occupants being wet or the hot air balloon being wet. So it doesn't look like they went into the water.
Tina, this is Tom. I'm going to interrupt for a second. Okay. I've got some testimony or some documentation from residents who are overlooking Calero. And apparently I'm going to be getting a hold of some video or cameras of the of a occupant jumping out of the balloon into Calero.
Okay.
So once I get that, I'm going to write a letter to the balloon company explaining to them that we're not in favor of this activity and they need to cease and desist, and that we will not be letting their pickup truck come into the neighborhood if in fact they're coming in here to pick up somebody who apparently they call it, there's a name for it, it's called flip diving. Flip diving, and it's a thing. So you can Google it, and people are doing it all over the place, but we don't want them doing it here. So I'm gonna write them a letter, let them know that if it happens where we catch them, that, that we'll write them a fine, and we'll see where we go from there. It's an invasion of private property, so.
So anyway, Tom.
Yes, Tim.
Tom, to that point, I'm aware of it as well. And I guess my question would be, unless the occupants of the hot air balloon were residents, that chase vehicle should not have been let in the community. That so that makes no sense to me. So we have to go back and figure that one out. I would think that as we get a little bit more information before we close this out, and we can deal with this offline, but how we deal and what we send to the balloon company, I think is going to have to take a little bit more of a different approach, i.e., and we're taking staff time right now to talk about it. There's a cost for them to be doing something like this. And I think that we move that cost onto them. And everything from patrol services to trying to validate it to, like I said, staff even, we're dealing with it right now. It's not an issue, or I mean, it hasn't been a huge issue. They've had to do landings in Marietta before. It's kind of the nature of the beast, if you will, for that type of joyride. But at the end of the day, if it wasn't intentional like that, until they can prove otherwise, I think we need to move forward and really look at district code, and all of that is in the letter, et cetera, et cetera. But again, we can deal with it offline from that standpoint. So as we move forward with it, I just think we have to look at it from a trend analysis. And like I said, it's normally not a huge issue, but now if we have something like this, the humor, I guess, is kind of run out. That's my thought. Thank you.
Okay, and patrol coverage, we have a total of 144 hours year to date that where we've had no coverage for various reasons. That is family emergencies and just not having coverage from the contract security company. Next is our the breakdown of the case narrative listings for the entire month.
And they're fascinating. I do have a... I do have a chat, if I may.
Please, Amelia.
Jim Crowder says to everyone, this truck arrives almost daily when they pick up occupants when they land by Calero. I could start documenting times and dates of when the balloon lands near Calero.
I think a couple of things. One, I don't know if it's a daily occurrence. That seems high to me. But the things that I'm going to talk to staff offline are just those types of things, because we'll be able to go back and track it, because we'll have gate entry as a visitor. But again, the trend analysis that I was talking about that's going to be addressed offline is somewhat similar to what this resident just spoke about. So thank you.
Okay, so we're ready to move on. If there are
yes,
no
please.
Questions about the incidents of note, I mean, all the incidents report.
Nothing jumped out at me unless you've got a hand raise or a question on it. I'm good.
Not so far.
Okay, so thank you for the monthly update. Item number four, security supervisor recruitment update. You spoke briefly about this, Tina.
Yes, so again, we're looking to hopefully get him on as soon as the fingerprint check comes back. And then I will train him for a couple of weeks on everything. So we're just awaiting that.
Okay. And I have had some discussion with the general manager if we would need to do some type of contingency offer, et cetera, et cetera. But at the end of the day, the current security supervisor has righted the ship and has us going in the correct direction. So if it takes an extra week or two, just because it's at the Fed level, then that's where it's at. So otherwise I feel very comfortable. We don't have to make some type of contingency offer from that standpoint. So very good. Thank you. Item five, security services opinion survey poll.
Tom?
Yeah, this is me. Sorry, I was on mute. We got a total of 36 applicants to be on the working groups. And I've got communication out to Tim McClurney North. Help me out, Amelia. What's the name of the polling company?
True North.
True North.
It just skipped out of my head for a second. We're working on setting up some dates. We're probably looking at four working groups with the 36 users. And we're going to work on designing how that looks as far as who is going to be in which group. So I hope to have an answer by the finance committee meeting in 2 days. I've got questions out to Tim right now. That's the status.
No, that's fine. I think we're still within the timeline that the district has established. I was going to say disappointing, but that's really the wrong word. Just there's obviously some vocal people, but it's not a majority, it appears, because if we can only get 36 that are interested to participate, may or may not bode well for us trying or us successfully trying to get Measure J addressed for the funding. And so we have to run its course, and that'll give the board information to make some decisions into the next calendar year, which will still be in this fiscal year, but it is what it is. So very good. Item number six, review of automated external defibrillators, also known as AEDs. I believe this is Tina.
Yes. So.
And this did come out just this morning about an hour ago now. So it is on the internet, the whole part of the packet.
You put the AEDs on the internet or the policy?
Just the policy and the memo.
It's just a question. Sorry, I'll mute.
Yeah, okay.
Hey, Amelia, please mute everybody.
Okay.
All right. So with this, we ordered the AEDs and they came in a couple of months ago, but we have to have a policy in place since we are a public agency that would be using these. So I wrote this policy and it identifies the program coordinator, which will be
the security supervisor.
The security supervisor. And that security supervisor has to maintain the list of district personnel who were certified to deploy, use and administer treatment with the AED, maintain the equipment, check it monthly, and identify the equipment location. So one will be located in the office and the other AED will be deployed in patrol with the patrol officers. So it will be available on every shift. And then we also have the security supervisor coordinating the training for personnel and the use of AED and ensuring that the post-event summary is completed and filed within 24 hours of any event. And it also includes the AED procedures response action plan, basically defines what the AED is used for, what sudden cardiac arrest is, and then the purpose of it. It also defines an exact response of what someone is supposed to do, including call 911, locate the AED, and then using it. And then with this, there are also the checklists to include the monthly maintenance, mm-hmm. or the monthly checklist, then the maintenance form, the CPR certification of personnel, as well as the event summary form.
Tina, I thought everything looked good. It does my heart good to have a cop talk EMS like this. I know it was probably kind of rough for you. So I guess my question would be, do you know off the top of your head what this program is costs right now, just for the equipment?
It was like $1,200 per AED.
Okay, yes. Perfect.
And however much to replace the batteries and the pads as they right. are used perfect. To go bad. Hopefully they all just go bad and we don't have to use them.
Right. And that is historically the case. So you're spot on with that, Amelia. I guess where I'm going with this, Tina, is like I said, everything that you have here covers everything perfectly. So it's well done. Now the question would be, and it's probably a board philosophical issue, how do we expand it? Or do we get a third or fourth one for spares? The only thing that, and it shouldn't be in this policy, is if we have an incident and somebody identifies themselves that wants to do some type of rescue, asking staff for the AED, because it is a layman's process, and AEDs are literally in a lot of venues. It's appropriate that it's not put in here, but I think it's just one of those philosophical things that if it's available, somebody requests to use it, they understand how to use it, we move on in that process. So like I said, that's more of a board philosophical. I think it looks great. We identified everything that we need. Like I said, for me, it's just, mine's always the what if, not when. So it's just a matter of expanding, having, so when one does break, et cetera, we're able to just replace it. But again, that's also a fiscal issue that we can address moving forward.
And when we did order this, it came in pretty quick. So if one does break, we would be able to replace it rather quickly.
Yes. And again, I think that'll be, you know, I believe it was Mario, hopefully I have the name correct.
Yep, that's
you know,
right.
that was able to really do quote unquote life-changing stuff for a resident. So it's just kind of one of those things that this is just one of those tools that we can provide. And if it's available and the timing and everything works out right, because again, people just need to understand an AED is very limited and what it can do, because it only recognizes one type of shockable rhythm, which is VFib or ventricular fibrillation. So, and that happens in a very small of the cardiac arrest, but we are positioning the district and employees to be successful where we can. So I think it's spot on. So unless you've got any hands or comments, I say we move this on to the board for adoption of policy 2021-07.
I have no hands, no chats.
Okay, very good. Like I said, you know, I think it's well written, and especially coming from a police officer. It does my heart good. Moving on to item 7, current disposition, fire hydrant, hit and run. You talked briefly about that.
Tim, this is Tom. I can talk about that. But I also would like to go back to number 5, if possible.
Wow. Okay. So, no, we'll stop the meeting. Let's everyone go back. Item number 5, which is the opinion survey poll. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, I was in touch with Tim McClarney with True North. We have set the dates, and I just need to get confirmation from him. We've set the dates of August 25th and 26th. That's a Wednesday and a Thursday, about 3 weeks from now, for the work group meetings. We're talking about doing them at 10 a.m., 2 p.m., and 6 p.m. to allow for the late crowd. And our first cut, we're planning to review the list and try to place a good cross-section of the community in each of the probable 4 groups, and then contact everyone and see how that works out. And if somebody's like, well, I can't make that, then we'll do a little bit of swapping to meet people's schedule requirements. So I just wanted to update that for the record to make sure that we get it out there and in multiple areas that people know what's going on. So the 25th and 26th, 2 and 10 a.m., 2 p.m. and 6 p.m. were the proposed times. So that's excellent. It for number 5.
No, that's fine, Tom. Thank you. And I think once we get the verification from True North, then we can start the process of working back through the other community groups that we have, the association, country club, the other associations, say the mobile village, et cetera, to move forward so everyone has an opportunity. So once we get confirmation of that, yeah, we can get that done right away. So thank you.
Okay.
Number 7, Tina.
That's me.
Okay, Tina, forget it. Tom, number 7.
It's still an open case. So there was a citation or something written by the Highway Patrol to the perpetrator of the hit and run who admitted that he had done so. We've turned everything we can up to, over to our insurance carrier, GSRMA, and we have the last thing we have to put together is the cost of replacing the fire hydrant. We've ordered the fire hydrant and a new valve, because the valve that the fire hydrant was connected to is so old it can't be closed all the way, which is causing a little bit of water to be leaking out of the old valve currently. And as soon as we get the new equipment in and replace it, that leak will come to an end. So there's a small amount of water leaking from the valve that's going into Clementia at this time. So we're not losing the water entirely, but it is coming out of our system, out of our potable system. We'll have those details at the finance committee meeting, because the finance committee is handling it from this point forward because of the fact that now it's all financial.
Correct. Very good. The other thing, and I'm sure you're already working on it, the one bollard was damaged, so obviously we'll get that replaced. I think part of the mitigation for this incident is we will be putting a couple extra bollards up, and then we'll move forward on a risk assessment type scenario for the other hydrants that we have in the backcountry. But part of this overall cost is the additional bollards and those types of things. I guess my question to you, Tom, and I don't need an answer now, would be if we know what the leaking gallonage is, that moves over to finance and potentially moves on for the restitution of the incident. So like I said, I don't need that because it's an open issue. You'll take care of it offline. Amelia, do you have any hands or chats?
No chats, no hands.
Perfect. Item number 8, I would just like to thank staff again. We just talked about the hydrant issue. through security, but all of staff on that particular incident did a fantastic job. Lessons are learned. One of the things that wasn't talked about, but just briefly, is we still have an after action report that the district's working on for lessons learned. And I'll go off top of my head and say that Tina's the one putting all of that together as we move forward, because it was a very significant event. Communications and how it was done and the timing, all of it was new for the district. And so with that, lessons do get learned, and we're going to formalize a whole lot of that process. So again, for staff, I appreciate that. Amelia, as always, a good job. I'm going to move on to item number 9 in adjournment. So I want to thank everybody for their time and have a good rest of the day.
Thank you.
Thank you.